Okay. Good. All right. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in King James language, a very familiar verse at Paris Christian Center. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And we understand not only if any man, but any woman. Everybody say woman.
Woman.
Say, I am woman. Make me strong. Without a number to it. I remember that old song. That has nothing to do with what we're going to share tonight. But I just want you to know, this verse is for everybody in this room. If anybody hears my voice and opens their heart, I will come into them. It starts with this. If anybody hears my voice. And I want to teach tonight for just a few minutes recognizing God's voice. You know, how many times we are fooled for one reason or another thinking we're hearing God's voice, but it's not God's voice. And many, many bad decisions are made because somebody thought, well, I thought I heard from God on that. So let's just cover a few things that we might use that are in the Bible, and please know this here. There are lots of verses on this subject, and not hearing God's voice, not recognizing the voice of God and the voice of the devil can get you in trouble. I've gotten in trouble thinking at times I was hearing from God, but I'm going to, and I wasn't. But I'm going to give you just a few verses tonight that I believe will help you. And one of the things I'm going to say to start off is, you remember the prophet Elijah. You remember he killed the prophets of Baal. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you by nightfall. And he ran off. And he ran and he hid. Remember that account? Now, as that account goes on, he was in a cave, and a wind came by, and he was listening real hard to see this, but the voice of the Lord was not in the wind. And then an earthquake came by, but the voice of the Lord was not in that earthquake. And then a fire, and the voice of God was not in the fire. And then the word says, as he listened intently, he heard the still, small voice of the Lord. I can tell you this, the voice of the devil is loud and boisterous, and he's trying to do one thing, appeal to your five senses, as he told Eve in the garden, oh, the Lord just doesn't want you to realize that you can be just like him, know everything he knows, so on and so forth. And she got in trouble. Adam got in trouble. The human race got in trouble because that's just not the truth. And the voice of the Lord, I think to start off with, we must say, is a still, small voice on the inside of you. Have you ever heard with your ears the voice of the Lord? Yes, I think a few times. But a trillion times I've heard the voice of the Lord inside of me. And that's what you have to concentrate on. And you have to get a hold of yourself. And at times shut off everything, shut out everything, and just concentrate on hearing the voice of the Lord. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, and 32, here's a very, very key thing. And then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if, everybody say if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, if you continue in the word, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Luke 4 and Matthew 4. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not just live and be happy by having everything that you want. The right, even the right person, even the right car, even the right steak, everything. There'll still be something in mankind because we're made in the image of God. We were made to walk with God and to fellowship with God. So as we look at these verses, if you continue in my word, I believe that to be a person of God that consistently makes right choices, I've made some very wrong choices, but mostly I have made some killer, good, prosperous choices in life. And I stand to you here today at 71, and I feel like I'm 41. How many of you feel like you're 41? You don't know how to answer that. That's kind of a trick question. And let me say this right here. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, no matter if you saw a rainbow or a purple person came and knocked on your door and said, this is it. If it doesn't line up with the Word, you better be careful. Very careful. And when you're making decisions like this all day long, you have got to know what's, I mean, it's boom, 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 boom. The more that you've, thy word, David expressed, have I hid in my heart. Number one, that I might not sin against you. That word of God, that's what you'll hear if you're, this is a word church, you'll hear that. It's the truth. People need to know the word of God for themselves. What belongs to them, the 7,500 promises in this Bible, you need to know that. What you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you can expect, what you have a right to believe God for, you need to know these things really, really good. Like a person that's been like, here's something I never do. If I get a new car, I never look at that contract as much as I should. Do you? I don't. But you know, sometimes if we get in a bad way, if we get in a tight, we might wish we'd looked at that a little closer. And so with other things too. So the Word of God, does it line up with the Word of God? Well, I don't know, but I feel like, well, you can get in trouble by what you feel like. You can miss it. Does it line up with the Word of God? That's an important thing. Let's look at Romans 10 and 17, please. I'm about halfway through this thing already. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. If you listen to the Word of God, I was talking to a fellow that's doing some work at our house, and he says, Brother Angelo, on my phone, we had the same app. He said, I just listen to the Word sometimes all night long. And you can't get too much of the Word. And if you're not careful, you'll fall in love with the Word, with the promises of God. The Word describes what God has for you. See, everybody in this room, and if that's not important to you, I think it is. I just think that we need to continue to point people towards that. Faith, your faith will be built up if you will hear the Word, and then if you'll take it and then become, as James chapter 1 says, be ye a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Make yourself become a doer of the Word of God. Make yourself do. I am always very blessed. My cup runneth over as I think of all of the help, the servers that come here. Some have never been in this church for a church service. They're just here. And what are they here for? Because there's something inside of them that's good. We're saved to serve, and they want to serve. And they want to be a part of something great. And they see that we don't ask anybody if you go to church or anything like that. We just ask if you're hungry. You want something? You want something for free? Get in line. Shut up and come on, get it. we'll put that stuff in your trunk before you know. Don't look what's in the trunk. I don't care that we gave you 13 bundles of bananas, for God's sake. What are we supposed to do with them? We got them for you. Oh, God is good. Somebody say, God is good. You must hear the word. Now, that could also include hearing the word at church, like what you're hearing now. Hearing somebody that knows how to rightly divide the word of truth, that knows how to give you the right word, not the doctrines of men, not the ideas of men, but the word of God, what it says and what it does not say. Very important. All right. I am going to take you to a place, and I'm going to take a little bit more time with this here. In the NLT, if you've got that NLT verse in there, I need 33, chapter 33, Job 33, verses 14 and 15. Okay. And this is what the word says, and it says it in more places than this. And I'm going to expound on this a little bit. For God speaks again and again through, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. One of the ways that God speaks to you and I is through dreams and visions. Have you ever had a dream that you just really felt like that was God? You ever had a dream like that? Yeah. You feel like that was the Lord, for gosh sakes. All through the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, there are people that had dreams. And they perceived through that. Now, one of the things that you have to do with dreams is this. You have to rightly understand that dream. I have a small circle of brothers and sisters, and sometimes when I have a dream, I'll tell them and say, what do you think of that? What does that mean? And I hope you have somebody in your circle that you can ask and hit some things off of, people that might be able to know, prophets know how to interpret dreams a lot of times. And can anybody remember the last time that you had a dream and you thought that was of God? Did you know what it was about? Did you know it was for? Do you want to share it, Keisha, real quick? You don't have to if it's personal.
Well, I had a dream. I was in my bed right where I was laying, and I had a dream where I felt like something had grabbed a hold of me. And, you know, my first thought is demons have got me, you know, and I started squirming and, you know, telling God, you know, like, I want this off of me. And it's like I just felt in my, you know, deep within me, God was like, this is me. And he's like, just come on. And I said, let's go. And then it's like I seen myself being lifted up into the heavens, and they set me on the ground in front of a big oak tree. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm about to meet Jesus. I'm about to meet Jesus. And about that time, everything just kind of disappeared, and I was back in my bed.
And how did you? What did you feel that dream meant for you?
That was, you know, God telling me that, you know, I'm his, you know. He had me look up the reference, you know, like what all the oak tree symbolizes, and it's...
He's your oak tree.
And
he's your strength.
My strength, my protection, my shelter, you know. A lot of times, you know, I looked up the biblical reference in there, and a lot of times the oak tree is symbolizing Jesus and God, you know, and it's just... it was God telling me, you know, that he's got me.
Let me tell you what happened here. You have stumbled around and started having a love for the Word of God. You didn't just see this dream. You remembered it, and you said, that's touched me. I'm going to search the Scriptures and find out what oak trees mean. Now, that's, you're on your way when we can do things like that. That is a good, good thing to do. He speaks to us through dreams and visions of the night. Let's turn to Matthew 27, verses 17 through 19. And this is where Pilate is about to give the okay to crucify Jesus. He was trying to get Jesus off, but he wasn't trying that hard. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. You know who delivered him? Religion of his day. Delivered Jesus to be crucified. The Messiah that they had hoped for and preached of for hundreds of years. They looked at him in the wrong set of eyes, and they felt like he was a danger to them, a danger to what they wanted to do, to their place in life, a danger to their office as a Pharisee or a Sadducee. Now, and for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." You know, they say that Pontius Pilate received Christ before he died. But perhaps this account will be brought up in the throne room judgment. So, if you have a dream, and has anybody had a dream that they want to get some insight to? You want to tell it and get some insight into it? Well, we've got time to do one. Why don't you give that microphone again? And you know what? I'm going to use my abilities, and maybe somebody else use your abilities in here. Because, see, God will use everybody. God will use anybody that makes themselves available to God. God bless you, Sister Keisha.
Okay, the one that probably I'm the most curious about was one of the first ones I had. And I was standing in a room with my dad, and my mom brought in this real flat, like wicker basket type thing. You know, the sides on it were only like that high. And there was like six or seven eyeballs rolling in it. And the irises in the colored part of the eyes, they were all different colors, irises on the eyeballs. And, you know, I remember that I was trying to, you know, I was like, I don't know how to change my eye out with one of them. And I look over, and my dad had one of his eyes out, and he was trying to get one of the ones out of the basket in his eye, in his socket, but he couldn't get it in. And that was all the dream. But it was very vivid, very clear. And it was like, and I felt like, you know, the eyes definitely represented something, and the colors, them being different colored irises, I know that represented something. You know.
Who thinks they might have any insight on that? Anybody here? What came to my mind, and I don't know if it's helpful or not helpful at all, is the words of Jesus. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Better to enter into heaven with one eye than to go to hell with two eyes. Now, the different colors and everything, I'll be honest with you, I don't know as I think about that. Anybody have any ideas about that? What that means? Those eyes were in a basket. There were different colors. That's interesting. Give me the next one.
Okay, I've had one where...
Mary, did you get any thought on those eyes? Didn't? Okay.
The other one that comes to mind right now is I had a dream. This woman was walking up a hill, and she gave birth to two babies. She gave birth to one, and it was gobbled up by a snake. She gave birth to another, and it was gobbled up by a snake. And then she birthed three eagles, one right after the other, and they flew off towards the east.
She did what to three eagles?
She gave birth to three eagles, one right after the other, and each one of them flew off to the east.
Now, to me, just off the top of my head, is those ones that got gobbled up, there's two of them.
Yep. And they were like human babies, and they were gobbled up by snakes.
They were consumed, I feel, by somehow in life they, how would I say that? They missed it, and they were consumed by demons, by the devil. And you know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
And the three eagles that went off to the east, to me, they were great. And I wonder if that couldn't all be in the same family with five children, and two of them just didn't fare too good, and the other three were great and mighty, and they were settled, and they had great lives. Do you know anybody with five kids?
I do.
Okay. We don't have to say anything anymore, because I'll tell you what. I felt that a little bit. I just felt that. It wasn't hard to get. That's just what I feel. Does anybody else have any feelings on that one? Well, I'll tell you, it's hard to take a chance. I think what we feel like is, what if I say something wrong? Well, who cares? What if you say something right? And who says what is right and what is wrong? I just spoke what I really felt in my heart. Yesterday, I told someone that I know, I have a word for you. Boy, he stopped right there. And I gave him the word over the telephone, and he just started to weep. It hit him so hard. And it wasn't that profound to me. I didn't really know what all it meant. I just gave him a very simple, short word, and it touched him very deeply in his heart. You know, we see in the word that God wants us to be instant in season and out of season, always ready to share something good with people around us that we might help them, even to just have a better day. You can help people in so many ways. One of the things I ask people all the time, I asked my builder this morning, is this question here. I've asked it for years. What is the one thing in your life that we could pray about right now? And this young fella is a teen leader in one of our local churches, and he loves God, and him and his family have devotions, and he has the same Bible app that I have, and he told me what it was. And Millie and I, remember that this morning, hon? We prayed for him, and it's a simple way. What an easy way to witness to others. It's like peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And you just want to help them if you can. And you don't have to act like you know a whole bunch. Just, hey, is there anything we could pray about? And then if they say yes, if they look like they would, then I always ask them, what's the number one thing? And in this case, it was family. Family's a big thing. Finances. Guidance. And I can go on and on. Things that are important to people. What if you prayed for them and that helped them? I cannot tell you how many times I have prayed for people. And I'm thinking of Kayla. And she was distraught some years ago, her and Mikey. She wanted a baby. So I just took one of those anointing cloths. I think, was it a napkin, Kayla? It was just a napkin. And she still has that. And I drew three little babies on there. Not two, not four, three. And I believe it was in 2022. She showed me that. She said, Brother Angelo, I held on to that. And I have three babies now. Let me tell you, what if you say something wrong? Well, what if you say something right? What if you give somebody some hope? What if you give somebody help? Just a word of encouragement, a smile of encouragement, just anything where we could help somebody else. There's so many ways to help people. And one of the ways, you know, prayer doesn't cost us anything. It costs us everything. In order for prayer to be effective in your life, you've got to be somebody that's sucked in close to God, that knows the Lord. Now, is there anything, Mary, that you want to share about it, generalities or anything? Okay. Because sometimes it's just best, I guess. But you know me.
I'm a bad girl today.
Oh, you were just, oh, well, I can't imagine that. But you're right. It's probably best not to get into that one. If Alzheimer's hasn't crept up on me, I've got one more place. This is a very important verse. I first heard the amplified translation of this verse many years ago in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 15. Could you put that up in the sound booth in whatever translation you do have? Probably best the NLT. But this verse, and I'm going to explain it, and then we're going to have share time, fun time. We're just going to chill. Okay, where did I put that? I think that's right after Filippo. Okay, now, we have that up there. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. Now listen to this translation. This will mean something to you. And I'll share on it for a minute or two. We'll take communion, and then there'll still be a few minutes for you to fellowship, get something, or get out quicker, whatever you want to do. Let me read this. And let the peace, this is in the Amplified Translation, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire. Act as an umpire. Do you know what an umpire is? He's one that stands there by the batter and the catcher, and he says, strike or ball, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let it rule more than anything else. Learn how to quiet yourself and get still before God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality. Okay. How many times have I seen people that couldn't come to a decision, that couldn't come to finality? Because there are some things you cannot reason out in life. Have you learned that? There are some things that come directly from God, and He will help you. But you have to know how to get a hold of God. You have to know the promises of God. You have to be interested enough in your life that you're to the point where you realize no man or no woman is going to complete you. The only one that's going to complete you is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Nobody else. If you surrender to God, He'll give you a husband. He'll give you a wife. Now, if you're a woman, He's not giving you a wife. I don't care what the TV says. And same with a man. He's not going to give you a husband. Isn't it getting harder to find something to watch on television these days? Am I wrong? How many of you love all that transgender? Me and Millie, sometimes we just look at each other and say, what the heck happened with our world? I don't know what to say. Is that right, Mayor? I mean, Brenda? Yeah. Let the peace, then in parentheses, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. You ever heard this statement? I just can't get a peace on it. You ever heard that? Let me tell you something. Or I hear somebody say, well, I've got a peace about it. I think, I'm going to tell you something. If there are any major decisions, and I'm not talking about what cereal you're going to buy at Walmart, but if there's any major decisions in your life, you better come to some kind of a conclusion, a godly conclusion. If you will, there are things in your life that God will tell you and help you if you'll put it in to do it. Can anybody? I can do it. Somebody, I think it was Keisha, talked about having an experience. I had an experience before we had any kids, living in Patterson, California. And in that experience, I was taken out of my body. I don't have these things every day. And God had prepared me and told me, you're gonna go through some things that's going to be kind of supernatural. And I was being taken up. And the Lord said, now, Angelo, just calm down. I told you about this. And then I stopped and I opened my eyes and I looked around. And all around me, and as far up as I could see, and as far down I could look, I was surrounded by the Word of God. That word was breathing. I could feel it pressing against me. The Lord said, listen. And I could hear the heartbeat of the Word of God. And from when I woke up that morning, many years ago, at about 23 years old, until this day, I have inexplicably been able to recall Bible verses. It's not anything that I did, honest to goodness. It's what God did to me. And he changed my life. And it's become useful to me to know what the Word says. I've been able to help a lot of people, mostly myself. When I listen, do I miss it? I do. It's easy to miss stuff. If any of this is stuck in your head tonight, think about that. Let the peace of God, okay? Let the peace of God call the strikes and the balls in your heart. Let the peace of God do that. If you just want to break through it in your mind and in your flesh realm, we all have flesh, you're just, I'm going to do it. I was studying on this today and came up. When you try to just make something happen, you just say, well, God says it. Well, he's not in it. Well, look, if it's not in his word, I'd be careful. Okay? And some of the other things that we just mentioned tonight, having that dream. If you have a dream, seek out somebody that can help you. Or maybe you'll know the dream yourself. That wouldn't surprise me not one bit. But anyhow, I preached the message tonight called Recognizing God's Voice. What if the next 10 decisions that you made were based on you heard from God and you moved in your heart, you moved on it? Wow. I think 10 in a row could change your life. Now, what we're going to do is this. Either make an altar if you can, or sit if you can't, and examine your heart, as the Bible says. If there's anything that shouldn't be there, confess it to the Lord, and just let's get ready to take communion. Praise God. I'm going to do something I don't ever remember doing here. I want to do it tonight. Millie? Stand up. Kelly? I'm going to ask these two women that I think so much of, just as you do, to serve us communion tonight. Is that all right? Okay. If you're looking for a conventional church, man, you're in the wrong place. So just hand one to everybody, hon. Except for Charlie. Let him rest. Praise God. We know that this emblem, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I am the manna, the bread that fell down from heaven. And it represents supply in the communion realm. And if you've been honest with God and fair with God, you can ask him for anything right now. Ask him for anything that you can believe him for, because he'll do it. If you can believe it, he'll do it. One of the common questions Jesus asked people, he asked the blind man, do you believe I can do this? And so the thing is, can you believe? Can you believe? We love you. Thank you, sweetheart. If you have something, some supply that you need tonight, please stand and secretly tell the Lord from your heart what you're standing for. If you don't need anything, there's nothing wrong with that. Thank you, sweetie. Did you get one for you, sweetie? All right, then. I would like you to say with me, say, Heavenly Father, thank you for taking care of all my needs, especially the Savior that you have given me. You've given the whole world your only begotten Son, that if we believe in him, we won't perish, but we will have eternal life. So, Father, I thank you for Jesus. Now break that emblem. We all know why in this room we break it. And let's partake together. And God bless you. You may be seated. And these girls are going to pass out the cup to you.